never thought it was such a bad little tree. It's not bad at all, really. Maybe it just needs a little love.
Aw, everybody. Maybe it just needs a little love. That is the sermon title this morning. And as we start our new series, it's called Looking for Christmas. And I don't know if you guys miss me, but I just want to say I missed you. And today I'm going to preach for like an hour and 20 minutes so I can make up for those 2 weeks that were lost. But we wanted to do a Christmas series this year, and we kind of like took a deep dive and we said, what is it that the general population, irrespective of their position on Jesus or faith or Christianity, what is it that they think they're looking for during this Christmas season? Because I think we're all in the Christmas, you're kind of wanting to look for family. You want connection. You want there to be love. You maybe even want there to be harmony. And for so many families, harmony, elusive. Can I get an amen? Anybody want to? Yes, hallelujah, praise Jesus. I mean, it's just hard for everyone to get along. And so whenever we're thinking about the things that people would say they are looking for, we wanted to take that and then transition and say, but what do they need from a God perspective? What is it that Jesus said that he would bring to those who were looking for Christmas? In Isaiah chapter 42 and Isaiah chapter 61, both give messianic prophecies concerning what Jesus would actually bring when he arrived on the scene. And we're going to look at those and we're going to unwrap a different aspect every week leading up to the Christmas Eve services. And I want you guys to know that I am not biased. Maybe a little. This is going to be our best Christmas Eve service that we've ever done at Genesis Metro in the history of forever. It's going to be amazing. We would ask always that you guys RSVP as soon as possible. It's going to be interactive. There's going to be a scavenger hunt. There's going to be a giveaway. There's going to be picture spots. There's going to be Christmas characters. There's going to be a candlelight. I mean, it's going to be an extravaganza of epic proportions. And the best thing is that it is your opportunity to invite someone to experience the crescendo of this series. It says that God was light for those that had sat down in darkness. And I hope that you would take the time to invite one, two families to come with you on Christmas Eve so they can experience the light of Christmas. Today, as we're thinking about the concept of a little bit of love, you know, Linus saw Charlie Brown's plight, and I don't know if y'all remember, but he was talking about commercialized Christmas and how he, you know, was kind of giving up. And he had this little Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And we actually have that phrase in our vernacular today. Whenever we see someone's tree and it looks terrible, you know, that's what we call it, right? You go through a department store and you see a terrible looking, undecorated, sad little tree, and you're like, oh, that's a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And he came to this conclusion that it wasn't such a bad tree. It just needed a little bit of love. And I'm just going to guess by the way that our world is and the way that life operates, there's a pretty good chance that there's at least a couple of people in here that your life would not be worse off if today you experienced just a little bit of love. Would you guys agree with me? Just a little bit of love, everyone in here would be better off. And so, hey, you know what? Let's just do it. Hey, the person beside you, if they're your wife, spouse, you know, whatever, just give them a big hug. If they're a stranger, just kind of give them daps or something like that. Just say, here's a little bit of love. Here's a little bit of love. Come on, just give it away. Look the person behind you, give them something. Give them a little bit of love. High five them, hug them, do whatever you got to do. A little bit of love, man. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm not asking for a lot. Just a little bit of love. You ever gone through a drive-thru and you had one of those days and someone just gives you a little bit extra, like sincerity, and in today's culture, so rare, right? Like, sir, have a good day. Like, you too. You too. Thank you. Needed that. Just a little bit of love. Have you ever been caught off guard when you gave someone just a little bit of love? Have you ever seen the floodgates open for just a little bit of love? Anybody ever seen this? I've seen it so many times in my life. I don't think we're ever to the point where we have too much love. I think we could always use a little bit more love. And as we go through this morning's message, we're going to see in Isaiah 61 that the specific thing that Jesus was coming for in the Advent, in the incarnation, when God leaves heaven to come to earth, the specific thing that he came for was to give a little bit of love to those that were experiencing a broken heart. What a God. What a God that he would care. Can you imagine how big God is and how small we are? And he takes the time for each and every one of us. It's not such a bad tree. Just needs a little bit of love. Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." You'll find a very similar passage in Isaiah 42 that we'll be covering. And Jesus actually preached this very passage in Luke chapter 4, saying that he is the fulfillment of this particular verse. That is what he came to do. So Isaiah said it some 700 years prior to Jesus walking on the scene and fulfilling it. And the plan of God from the beginning was to give us something to fix our broken heart. Point number one, we all need a little bit of love. Now, when we think of broken heart, we think of someone maybe that experienced the loss, maybe they were broken up with, maybe they went through a divorce, maybe they experienced some tragedy, maybe something wrong was done to them, and we say that as a result of said thing, they have a broken heart. But this word actually goes deeper than that. It's really speaking to the essence of man. We would actually probably closer to saying the soul, the essence of who you are, the soul. He said that God looked down and he assessed the situation and he said that I want to go help those who have a broken heart. And I think if we just, you know, we're doing a counseling session this morning and everybody kind of like lay down on the couch and I ask you a question. Have you ever had that inner anxiety? That feeling inside, like there's gotta be something more than just going to school. There's gotta be something more than just going to work. There's gotta be something more than just having kids or buying a house. There's a restlessness inside of us that is yearning for this grand purpose. That is something bigger than us that makes it all make sense. And there's parts of us that we know aren't right. I think that if you've lived long enough and you're honest with yourself, there's some parts of you in your flesh that it's really hard for you to control those things. As a matter of fact, they oftentimes take control of you. There's a brokenness, the Bible says, as a result of sin that goes all the way to the core of us. And so as a result of having this broken heart, we're going through all of the different dials and iterations and we're trying to find something that will fill this void that's in our lives. And as God looked down and assessed the situation, he said, I see their broken hearts. I see the anxiety that's inside of them, the yearning to be forgiven, to be restored, to be healed, to be maybe washed white as snow. Grace for the guilt that's inside of them. He said, I see it. I see where they're at. And how great is it that he sees it? And not only does he assess it, but he addresses it. Isn't that, like, some people are professional assessors. Does anybody have any friends like this? Like, they can tell you what's wrong all the time, but they don't actually do something to help you. Anybody have, like, It's one thing to be able to assess a problem. It's another thing to address the problem. Do you know the difference between the assessment and the addressment? It's like whenever the guy is walking along and the Good Samaritan, the two guys that come along before, the priest and the Levite, they assess the situation. They see the guy. He was beaten up and he was robbed. He was left for dead. I assessed it. But they did nothing to address it. Do you know the difference between assessing and addressing is that addressing something is always going to cost you. Every time you want to love something or someone, it's going to cost you. And I learned through this passage, and I've learned through life, I've learned through studying God, that love requires us always to let something go. Linus gives us the perfect picture, doesn't he? If you know anything about Linus, Linus is synonymous with one object and one object alone, and it is his. You know it. I didn't even watch this cartoon growing up. I was more like a Christmas Vacation kind of family. Anyway, so the one thing that he doesn't let go of, the one thing he doesn't share, is his blanket. And yet he assesses his buddy who puts this one ornament on top of his terrible little pathetic tree, and when he puts it on there, it's like hope was built up and then immediately evaporated, and he needed someone to give him a little bit of love. And Linus takes his blanket and he gives it away. He lets it go. He wraps it, and he creates a foundation upon which Charlie Brown can have a great Christmas. Love always has to let something go. God saw our brokenhearted selves and our sin and our lack of true purpose. And let's be honest, passion is hard to maintain. And he said, I want to enter into that. I want to assess it. They have a problem. I want to address it. So God had to give something away. Isaiah 53:10 says that it pleased God to see his son crushed. The father had to let go of his son in order to love us. Gosh, you ever thought about it like that? I know that I love you all, but I don't love you more than I love my kids. And I doubt very many of you would let one of your kids go so that you could save me. Love you, Pastor Tim, but not that much. The father had to let his son go in order to love us. It pleased God to see his son crushed, that the iniquity, the sin of the world was placed upon Christ. He had to let his very best go. As a matter of fact, the famous verse that we all quote, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, what? He gave his only begotten son. Love has to let go of something they love in order to give love to someone else. Not only did the father have to let go of the son had to let go of his life. In Philippians 2, there's a great psalm. It's called the Christus Psalm, and it says that though Jesus was equal to God, was God, did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, that he divested himself and he let go. He didn't consider his divinity something to be grasped or to be held onto, to be clung to. And he let go of his divinity so that he could step into humanity. Now imagine you were up in heaven and everything was great and there was no pain, there was no sorrow, there was no death, there was no suffering, and there were angels worshiping you on high. Would you like to come down here? And yet he leaves everything so that he could love us. When you see the babe in the manger, that is the beginning of the love that is going to be given so that the brokenhearted could be healed. so that hope could be given to the hopeless and help could be given to the helpless. Jesus goes all the way and he says, if I am going to truly love those who are brokenhearted, I'm going to have to let go of not only heaven, I'm going to have to let go of my life. And at the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Hey, Father, I'm coming home. I'm going to let go of my life because I love you, Father, and I want to be obedient, but I love them, and they need me to die so that they can live. Gosh. Anytime you're going to love someone, you have to be willing to let go of something you love in order to give them the love that they need. Consider this morning that God wants to give you that type of love. He wants to assess your issue. He wants to address your issue. He says, by faith, if you'll accept the love of God into your life and receive what Jesus Christ did at the cross, he says, after he's assessed it, addressed it, you have the ability to possess it by faith, by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died and rose again. We have that opportunity. That is how we fix our broken heart. That is the way we introduce Christmas into our lives. That all of a sudden hope comes flooding in. He says, but there's an issue. And he says, when you give a little bit of love to that broken heart, verse 3, there's going to be a connection that I want us to make. It says in verse 3, he says, I'm going to provide for those who grieve in Zion. So now we got emotion. We got sadness. We got despair. We got brokenness. And he says, I will give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. This is one of my favorite verses. Is anybody ever just like, isn't that just poetic? Does anybody else like feel that? Like God would give you beauty for your ashes? God, that's amazing to me. He will give you beauty instead of ashes. He will give you the oil of joy instead of mourning and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. See, there's a connection between God's love and all of the instead ofs. And there's a transaction that is able to be made. He says, on one hand, you have this weight. This weight, this heaviness that you carry. And I'm just going to suppose that there's some sitting in this room this morning that you walked in with the weight of the world on your shoulders. When you get to a place where you're uncertain what's going to happen next or which way you should go, or I've done all that I know to do and it didn't work, wait. When other people have a perspective and an opinion on you and you feel like you can't measure up, wait. When you need this much money and you have this much bills, that's some weight. And so here all these people are walking in this morning and you're burdened down by this weight. And he's saying, if you will allow a little bit of my love to come into your life, I can lighten your load with just a little bit of my love. He says, I can take and make a transaction with you, and I can make a trade with you that if you'll allow me to have your heart, then I can give you hope, I can give you help, and I can give you all of the instead ofs. You just have to let my love work. And when my love begins to work, I will give you beauty for your ashes, I will give you joy for your mourning, and then I will put a garment of praise. Gosh. And replace your spirit of despair. It's not saying that depression and sorrow and sadness, that there's not a time for it. If you've gone through a loss, grief is a part of the process. If you skip grief, you'll mess yourself up. But what if someone exited into grief, despair, depression and sadness, and they never got back on the road? You see, God didn't intend for you to sit down in that forever. He said, I'm going to make a way that I can take that weight and I can give you something better for it. He says, if you'll let my love work, I'll put beauty where your ashes were. If you'll let my love work, you can find joy where there's been tears. He said, and if you let my love work all the way out, it always ends in the same place. And that's worship. He said, when you let my love work itself out, he said, I'll put a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Man, what a great litmus test. What a great barometer for us this morning. Have we let God's love work to the point in our lives that worship is on our lips and that joy has replaced our sadness, that beauty has replaced our ashes, and that a garment of praise has transformed our spirit of despair? If you haven't got to worship, if you stopped while his love was still working, can I encourage you this morning to let his love work in your broken heart until it gets to worship? Because when you get to worship, that's when everything changes. If you'll allow him to go inside out, it goes heart first. And as a result of the heart, he says, I transform how you feel. And then after I transform how you feel, last verse up on the screen, he says, I will allow you to rebuild, I will allow you to raise up, and I will allow you to repair. He has to change you from the inside out. So until you fix the inside, until he has the heart, then you can't rebuild. You can't raise up. You can't repair. Do you think we ever get that inverted? Do you think it's possible we ever wake up in the morning and you're like, you know what? I got to go repair this thing. Oh, I got to go fix that. I got this rubble laying around. I got to rearrange my rubble today. And we focus all of our attention on these outside things. And we think, now once I get this outside stuff, then I'll, you know what? Then I'll make some time. I'll go over there and I'll get the inside worked. I'll get the church. I'll get the Bible. I'll get to worship. Just let me work on the outside first. And after I get the outside straightened out, I'll get the inside. God, you're costing yourself. You're costing yourself. Until he has your heart, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I abide in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're trying to make the outside look pretty while the inside is broken. He's saying, let me make the inside look pretty and I'll change the way you feel. And after I change the way you feel, we'll start rebuilding some stuff. We can start rebuilding some stuff that has been torn down. We can start raising up some rubble that has been, as a matter of fact, he said, we will transform the devastation of generations. In other words, we can repair where it went wrong, not just in your past, but in your parents' past, in their parents' past, in their parents' past. You might have a whole bunch of past that you bring to the table and you're trying to figure out, where do I start? How do I not end up where they ended up? It's almost like it's a curse that's following over you and you're about to head down the wrong road, the same road that your parents went, the same road that you went down in your first marriage, the same road you went down with your first kid where you know you made that mistake and you're about to repeat it again. How do I get out of the trap of repeating the process? It's not by making the outside look prettier. If you would give him the inside, he said, let me work on that. Let me give you a little bit of love. I'm willing to let go of my son, the father said. The son said, I'm willing to let go of my life so that I can love them. He said, you let me do my work of love in your heart. And then when we get to the end of how you feel about it, he said, I'll let you build some things. Things that you never thought you could build. Never in your life did you dream he could build the type of life that he is able to give you. I know the plans for you, God says. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Oh, I hope this morning you would align your heart with God. Let him help you. Let him love you. Let him set you free. The first thing is confession. If you confess you need him this morning, you are already there. The finish line is in sight. You let him have your heart today, how you'll start feeling about stuff tomorrow, I promise you. Oh, the patience you don't have, oh, there it is. the mercy you don't have. Oh my gosh, there, grace, the ability to love. Despite the things that have happened in the past, you get to that point that love covers a multitude of sins. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be love bears no record of wrong? Wouldn't that be good? You're never going to get there if you're trying to fix it from the outside in. Today I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I hope that you would say to God, God, I've been doing it my way all my life. Today, I feel the weight, and I can't, God. I can't carry this weight. God, I hear this message, and I want to try it. I want to let your love lift that load. Would you guys let me pray for you? Let's pray. Father, God, I pray for all those bearing the weight of the world on their shoulders this morning. I pray, God, that you would allow your love to start working in them. God, that you would begin working right now for those that are struggling in their emotion. God, maybe those that have sat down in bitterness, in depression, in mourning. It's not that it's not a real emotion. It's not that it's not an okay emotion, but God, they know that they've sat there too long. They let that set in. And now that emotion is defining them. That emotion is dominating them. And God, you're offering them a way out this morning, that your love could begin to work in them, and all of a sudden, that joy would start filling up their heart. That beauty would be what they see in the mirror. Instead of the ashes of the past, they see the crown that you've placed on their head. God, that slowly but surely, as your love begins to work, they start to say, maybe today, as I begin to let go and receive God's love, that I'll try on for the first time in a long time that garment of praise to replace the spirit of despair. Come on, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can't be downhearted all the time. You can't feel defeated all the time. It can't be that the world is against you, because I firmly believe that Jesus said, if I am for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Let's stand up on our feet and let's let his love lead to worship this morning.